Blog Talk Radio.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them. Here I am.
Here I am.
Come on, tell him one more time.
I
Did we hear that tonight? My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you, Lord. This is true. If you belong to Jesus, your life is not your own. You belong to Jesus. And that's the best person to belong to in this entire world. I want to greet you. This is nighttime by me in the United States on the north side of the country. This is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But I want to greet and welcome every one of you that are listening from across the United States of America, whether it's Central Standard Time, Mountain Time, Pacific Time, or if you're in another nation, if you're in China, it's now about 9 o'clock in the morning. And if you're in Singapore, it's another time. If you're in South America, it's another time. But wherever you are, and whenever you listen to this broadcast, we want to welcome you to Reaching Out Radio. Evangelist Montel Fields and her family, they're the owners of Reaching Out Radio, and it's their desire to preach the gospel and advance the kingdom of God. And I'm one of the very blessed people to be on their program. So I want to shout out to my good friend, my wonderful sister in Christ, Sister Montel, thank you so much for this privilege. Thank you to all of you that are listening. Wherever you're listening, God bless you. He loves you, has a tremendous plan for your life. And so I'm very grateful today. I love that song. I chose that song because we're going to talk tonight about occupying until Jesus comes back. And by the grace of God, we're going to explain a little bit about what that means. But I want to go back just for about a minute to that song that I chose. William McDowell sung it. I give my life away. I give myself away. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you, Lord. What a wonderful opportunity every man and woman has that belongs to God, that we can give our lives to Jesus Christ. We thank God for that privilege. We thank God for the knowledge to know that we're not alone, that our lives are literally hidden in Jesus Christ. It is the most exciting place to be, the safest place to be, and I wouldn't want to trade any place with anybody else outside of people that are in Christ. So thank you, Jesus, that we belong to you, those of us that are in your kingdom. And so, I'm going to begin tonight. Again, we're going to talk about occupy until I come. So that's the message for tonight, occupy until I come. And that phrase is taken from Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. I'm going to read it for you all the way down to, let's see, how far are we going to go tonight with this? We're going to go all the way down to verse 26. So I'm going to take my time and read that portion of Scripture. There's a lot more Scripture in the 19th chapter of Luke, but I just want to read these Scriptures, and here it is, Luke chapter 19, verse 11. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. I'm reading from the New American Version, the New International Version, NIV. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him, and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. "Well done, my good servant," his master replied. "Because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second one came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I've kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you, because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow." His master replied, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?" Then he said to those standing by, "Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. "Sir," they said, "he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." Now, the King James Version of verse 13 says it like this: "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, 'Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come.'" To be able to get a better understanding of this text, I want to emphasize and repeat a portion of verse 11. "Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once." And this is why Jesus was telling them, because they were thinking, wow, all of our stuff is over. We can now pack up our stuff, get ready to get out of here. Jesus is going to come and deliver us from this earth. We're out. That's what they were thinking, because he was near Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. They knew that back even in the day. And so when they heard Jesus saying all these good things, they were thinking, okay, great, we're soon out of here. We don't have to live here anymore. But Jesus wanted to make sure that they clearly understood and were not under kind of false delusion. They were not misunderstanding. No, he came to save them from their sins, but he was not going to establish his eternal kingdom at that point. He would go away and then return a second time. They didn't understand that. They thought that they were going to be out with him right away. But what I want to point out before we even go on with the teaching for tonight about occupy till I come, I want to also say that in that middle part of verse 11, it says, "Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once." So Jerusalem is, I want to establish that right now, Jerusalem is and always will be the capital of Israel or Israel. President Trump, the current president of the United States, whether people liked it or not, was absolutely correct in acknowledging Jerusalem as Israel's capital. We find the backing for that and the basis for that in 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5 describes Jerusalem as the city of David and plainly the capital of Israel. Now, for us to be able to do the bidding or the desire of God, we must not think about what is politically correct, okay? But rather what is correct in the eyes of Almighty God. I want to clearly state this sentiment because I truly believe it is because of trying to be politically correct and desiring to please man that many times people claiming to be believers and followers of Christ are far more concerned about gaining the approval of man or approval of a woman over and above pleasing our Heavenly Father. I want to say that again. So many people claiming to be children of God, men and women of God, they are far more concerned about gaining the approval of man over and above trying to gain the approval of our Heavenly Father. Now, that's a problem. What I want us to see is that it's always very evident that we, the believing children of God, we're the ones that have the right message, okay? We're the one and the ones with the right message. One good way of seeing this is that we always are being copied. We're always being copied. And the devil is never original. Did you know that? He's never original. He's always trying to do something, copying something that God came up with, except when it comes to perversion, he's original. He perverts what God designs. He tries to pervert it. The enemy of our soul always has to come up with a God concept, an idea, and then twist and contort it. See, God is the original designer, not the enemy. And that's where a lot of people, even some Christians that I've met, they get it confused. And like my daughter used to say when she was younger, they got it twisted. So, God is the original one. He's the creator. He's the one with the great ideas and the new concepts. It's the enemy who takes those God ideas, God concepts, twists them into all kinds of evil shapes. For example, I present to you the relationship between a woman and a man. This was never Satan's idea for men and women to have relationship, for them to know each other and have intimacy. It was always God's idea. Even sexual intimacy, that was God's idea, not the devil's. The devil then came along and lied, okay, pretending that he knew more than God. And I just want to say to you and to my own self that's listening, be very careful in your wheeling and dealing so that you and I, we never ever play or pretend to be gods, because we're not God. Again, going back to the case of God being the true creator and the original designer, watch how today those claiming to be, like, for instance, homosexual or lesbian, they'll still want to imitate the relationship which a true man and a woman has. For instance, in every man with the man relationship, one of those men plays the female role. Same with the lesbians, women with women. One of them is going to be the man. Now, we know that in all reality, no matter how much one dresses, cuts, clips, stuffs, lifts, or fills, a man born a male will never be a genuine woman, and vice versa. A woman will never be a man, no matter how many male suits she may have tailor-made for her. She's still going to be a woman at the end of the day. And so what we see today is a lot of people that are in confusion. We see people that are totally confused, bought into a lie, and are now completely a world away from their God-given destiny. They will never have the children that God had purpose for them to have. They will never know the life that God has purpose for them to have. But instead, they've taken up a false life. It's not a real life. And I also want to bring up this thing with Occupy Wall Street, because I'm talking tonight about Occupy Until Shiloh Come. And I'm saying, the reason I brought up about the homosexual and the lesbian and different types of counterfeits is because even with this Occupy Wall Street that came up in 2011, for a fact, we know that whole concept, this Occupy, where'd they get that from? They got that from the scriptures. Without a shadow of a doubt, somebody in Canada heard the scripture found in Luke chapter 19 and verse 13 and decided that they were going to also occupy, but not for God's kingdom. Instead, they were going to occupy for, as former President Obama stated, the redistribution and sharing of the wealth. So where did this Occupy Wall Street really come from? Occupy Wall Street movement, it didn't even originate in America. It originated in Canada. So that's to show you how American it's not. I want to repeat that. The whole Occupy Wall Street did not originate in the USA, but in Canada. The original protest was initiated by Cal Lyson and Michael White of Adbusters, a Canadian anti-consumerist publication, who conceived of a September 17th occupation in Lower Manhattan, not even in their own nation, but in Lower Manhattan, because that's where Wall Street is. Okay? So the first Occupy Wall Street, it was supposed to be about fighting greed, the excess of wealth, with the 1% versus the 99% of the population, which were not super wealthy. Now, mind you, and I stress not super wealthy, because what the protesters probably don't know, since the great majority of them have never tasted true poverty, is that they too are wealthy, very wealthy indeed. Now, when you compare them and you compare us to the majority of people living on planet Earth, those Occupy Wall Street people are wealthy. Yes, even the 99%ers are killing wealthy when it comes to comparison with so many others around the planet. Without a shadow of a doubt, you know, we know that somebody in Canada was just trying to copy the scriptures. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to get to the real source of what it means to occupy. Not occupy Wall Street necessarily, but occupy in every area until Christ returns. Not solely Wall Street. Every area until Jesus comes back. As with anything that is not founded on the rock Christ Jesus, Occupy Wall Street failed and turned into a conglomerate hodgepodge mess of everybody and anyone who had a complaint of absurdity to flaunt. They went to Zuccotti Park in Manhattan and turned into wild exhibitionists. That's my words. That's what I called them. That's what I saw. They were trying to occupy. But what does occupy truly mean, and who really should be occupying? Well, we know that the believers should be occupying. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, was also talking about occupying. And it said it like this: the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Judah was the fourth tribe of Israel, the tribe that was going to go out first and do battle, the tribe that means let God be praised. The scepter is the one that the king had extended to Queen Esther when she wanted an audience with him. And so the word of God teaches us in Genesis 49:10 that the scepter, meaning that we have access to the king, the scepter, meaning that we have power with the king, the scepter, meaning that God is listening to us. So he extends his scepter. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Shiloh is another word for the Messiah. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So that's Genesis 49 and verse 10. I tell you, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, God has a sacred thread. He wants his people to go and to occupy. Earlier in Genesis, God told Adam to have dominion and take dominion. And so you and I are still to be having dominion. We're still to be occupying. So why do we really believe that God has given us the gift of his precious Holy Spirit? Is it just so that we can have stuff and live a happy, happy, happy life? No. God wants us to be content, of course, and have everything that we need to live a life filled with joy and peace, definitely. But he also wants us to conduct business. Hello? He wants us to conduct business, his business, not the enemy's business. We're his representatives. We're his ministers of reconciliation with the world. He wants us to do business and to occupy until he comes back. So what does this word occupy really, really mean? It means to take up or to fill up space and time. Well, to be frankly honest, that's exactly what those people did in 2011 in Zuccotti Park. Thousands of them came, and they filled up that park. They occupied the space. If you used to go to the park before and take your lunch and sit down on the bench, you no longer had the freedom to just do that because there were hundreds, if not thousands of people there doing all kind of garbage. And you were not free to just go in there and have your regular little, you know, hour break because they went in to the park, into that whole area, even beyond the park, and they literally took up space. They occupied the space. They occupied the time. Occupy also means to engage or employ the mind, energy, or attention of. So in other words, again, the people that were in Occupy Wall Street, did they or did they not get the attention of the nation? Yes, they did. Did they or did they not get the attention of the world? Yes, they did. Because the news of what they were doing in that Wall Street area in Zuccotti Park, that went around the whole world. Chinese knew about that. South Americans knew about that. Africans knew about that. They were engaging and they were getting the attention of. And so the Word of God tells us that when Jesus gave that parable in Luke chapter 11, and he said, because the people were thinking that he was going to take over right then, he said, no, I'm going to tell you a story. And then he gave them a parable. Well, what is a parable for those of you that were not raised in Sunday school and you might not have heard? A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable in Scripture is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay, so he gave the story about this man that went to his servants. All right, he was a king. He was not just any ordinary man, but he was a king. He was of noble birth. And he had appointed himself king, and he said, I'm going to return. But for these 10 servants, I want you to now occupy until I come back. I want you to conduct business on my behalf. See, that's the key. I want you to conduct business not on your behalf, but on my behalf until I return. So I want you, so let's look at this definition for occupy now. I want you to fill up space, fill up time. I want you to engage in the culture. I want you to employ the mind of the people. I want you to use energy. I want you to get the attention of the people, the masses. I want you to reside. The other third definition of occupies, it means to be a resident of, or tenant of, somebody that dwells in. The fourth definition of occupy means to hold a position. To hold an office. The fifth definition of occupy, to take possession of and control of a place as by military invasion. For instance, when Germany was going crazy, allowing Hitler to do all kinds of devastation, horrific murdering, and the Holocaust with the Jewish people and so many others that they felt were less than or not as good as them. Thank God for the Americans and all of their allies, the British and the Australians and others from different nations that went in, because when Germany and Hitler and all his people had taken possession and occupied, then the people that delivered the remaining Jews, they went in. They defeated the Nazi regime, Hitler's regime. They defeated them, and then they now went in to occupy. They went in to take control. They went in to take possession of. They went in to get the attention of those Jews that were yet remaining and the other citizens of Germany that were yet remaining. They went in to take up space, to fill up, to occupy, to take a position, to take control of. And so, beloved of God, the Lord tells us very clearly, what are we supposed to be doing? That's a very good question. We know what the world is doing. We got that. My question is tonight, is what are we doing? Do we even understand? Do we have any clue about what we're supposed to be doing? Well, let's go back to the definition. Let's see if that can help us. And remember, it was even from Genesis chapter 46 that we got that word, that we're to go and to occupy until Shiloh comes. Occupy until the Messiah returns. Occupy until the king comes back and establishes his rightful rule and reign. In the meantime, he's left us. Do we understand that? Do we even have a clue? We're not talking about having a service now. This is different. Everything is okay in its right place. There's a time and a place for everything. But let's just talk now. I'm not talking about let's just open up a little, you know, let's open up a building and put a church sign on top of it and let's go in there and have a service. Or let's go in there and teach Sunday school. That is so wonderful. And I hope that we'll always have Sunday school. And I hope that we'll always have teaching and preaching until Jesus comes back. When he returns, we don't need Sunday school. We don't need to have a service. We don't need to be in church buildings. We don't need that. But until he comes, we do need that. However, this is not really what he means by occupying. What he means by occupying is that we must go into the present culture, take up space, fill it up with God. Engage in the culture. Not just look at the culture, stand on the sidelines, talk about the culture, talk about everything. And look, I do it too. But I must say, and I'm not perfect, far, far from it. Have failed so many times, and I'm sure will fail again. Not that I take pride in that. That's not a good thing. We should not boast in failures. We should not think that that's nice to fail. We should want to succeed. We should want to do everything in a way that honors and glorifies God. But I can tell you that I am a part of that people, of that generation, of that number that occupies. I believe in occupying. I want to, and let me tell you, I am not occupying the way that I really believe God wants me to occupy. I'm praying daily for God to give me the wisdom and the understanding, the wherewithal to know how to better occupy. But I am. Why? I'll give you for instance. When I go into the prisons, I am going in to fill up space and time. I am going in to engage. I am going in to employ the minds of those that are in those prisons and are incarcerated. I am going in there to get the attention of those men that I go to minister to. I want to get their attention. It's intentional. It's not that, you know, it's not by accident. I am going in for the purpose of getting their attention, of gaining their attention. Why? Because I want to go in and occupy. I want to go in to engage with them and let them know there's a better way. There's a way that does not lead to death. But it does not lead to destruction, but leads to life and that everlasting. And I can't I can't tell them that unless I'm engaging with them. Can't. Cannot. Unless I'm engaging with them. Amen. So, you and I, we need to start doing the works. Jesus said in John, I believe it's in chapter 9, I'm not really sure, I'm not looking at it right now, that we need to work the works of him that sent us while it is yet day. And so how do we do that? By occupying, by engaging, by doing those things that God wants us to do, working the works, doing what he wants us to do. Amen. That's what we do. That's who we are. That's who we are. Working the works, occupying, doing the job, representing him. That's what it's all about. And if we're not doing that, we're just taking up space, but we're not being used of God. We're taking up what we call empty space. Empty space. We're not taking a hold of. We're not possessing. Many times we read in the Old Testament, he commanded his people, Israel, to go in and possess the land. You and I to go and possess the land. For instance, we've got to speak into the culture. A lot of times we're on our job, okay? We're in the marketplace. We're in the corporate world, and we're remaining silent. We know what God has done for us. We've been changed. We've been transformed. We've been totally turned around in a good way by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit. And yet we go into these workplaces and to these corporate situations, and we're with our mouth quiet. Now, I'm not telling you to go in there, stand on a soapbox, and start preaching your heart out. There's a time and a place for everything. We learned that in Ecclesiastes. However, the same way that we talk, and we know we do, we talk to people on our jobs, we engage with people on our jobs in our workplaces, whether it's in the corporate world, whether you're a construction worker and working on a building, whether you're an architect, whether you're a chef, whether you're working as a waiter, whether you're working in a big department store, in sales, wherever, whatever, in a school, in a hospital, wherever you're working, there's always opportunities to engage. The question is, are you engaging for the kingdom? Are you engaging for the master? Are you engaging for the kingdom of God? So you see, I want to bring you into reality with what this thing means to occupy. Again, going back to Occupy Wall Street, they wanted to get, I repeat, and I know I said it before, but I'm saying it again on purpose, they wanted to get the attention of the nation. They wanted to cry out and say, whether you agree with them or not, we don't like the greed, we don't like the inequities, we don't like a lot of things, and we're here to complain about it. That was the beginning. We're here to protest about all of the stuff that we don't like. And like I said before, it turned into a whole other thing. It turned into something ugly, crude, base, rude, lewd, weird, satanic, and it even got to be anti-Semitic. So it turned into something really ugly and not surprising, because it was not founded on Christ. It was not founded on godly principles. But did they get the attention? Yes, we've already established. They did get the attention. And see, what I'm trying to say is, and I believe that the Spirit of God wants me to remind myself and you listening, is that God wants to use you, and he's equipped you if you're a believing, blood-washed, born again, redeemed, Holy Spirit-filled man or woman of God. God wants you. This message is for you. You must go in to occupy until Jesus returns. And I want to use a word that I love again. I've used it earlier, and I'm going to use it again. You have to be intentional about this. There's an intentionality that you and I have to have. It cannot be that we just do whatever we feel like. If something hits us, you know, we bounce back. That's good. We should bounce back. But don't just wait for something to hit you. You go into a situation to occupy. You go into a situation to take up. You go into a situation to energize that situation. You go in to get the attention of. Not for yourself. It's not about me going in so people can look at Pearl. Heaven forbid. I'm not the one who's going to bring deliverance. I mean, I can show them the way of deliverance. That's true. And I am a deliverer because I've been delivered, and I've been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. And so when you are one that has been delivered by God, you become a deliverer, yes, but I cannot save anybody. I can deliver them in this way, the same way that that army, that American army, those American regiments went into Germany, went into the Nazi camps and found the people that were left and yet barely alive, they delivered them. So you and I can go into some really, quote-unquote, hellhole places and deliver people, but how do we deliver them? By sharing and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the word of God says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I would love if everybody, I know maybe for some of you in different nations it might not be possible, but many, many of the nations that are listening to me can get this book, How Christianity Changed the World, by Alvin J. Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, Alvin, A-L-V-I-N, J is the initial, How Christianity Changed the World. I mean changed the world. I'm not going to read any portions of that book. I do have it. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I do have it in this house. And I don't, I will not take our time to try to read from that, but I can tell you a few things. Number one, maybe you've heard me mention this before. We would not know Harvard. We would not have a Yale. We would not know Princeton University. We wouldn't know any of these Ivy League universities that people from around this nation and other parts of the world would aspire to attend if it had not been for Christians. Christians that went in to occupy. Christians that went in to get the attention of. Christians that went in to engage. Christians that went in to fill up and hold positions and take possession. That's how we have Harvard. Of course, sad to say, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, they're no longer bastions of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So sad for them. I know Princeton has a famous seminary, but, I mean, as the university, they're nowhere near God. They've been apostate a long time, so with Harvard, so with Yale. So with all of these Ivy League schools, most of the universities around the world today, I know especially in America, they're about trying to get people away from believing God. So sad. Unless you go to a very clearly defined Christian university, all the secular universities I know, and even some claiming to be Christian, quote unquote, they're teaching our young people to go as far from God as humanly possible. Okay? But originally, these great places of education were created and founded by people who knew what it was to go in and occupy. Now, I can say the same thing for schools. How do you think we even have schools in America, where I'm speaking from right now? How do you have schools in England? Okay, how do you have schools in any country? Started with Christians having schools. We know that everybody first learned in their own homes. That's pretty basic. But as far as schools and the formal putting together of a school. That was because of Christians going in and occupying, going in and establishing that, you know what, we need to train these children in the admonition of God. We need to train them how to do business in this world. So it started by Christians. So I would encourage everybody who has access to being able to purchase this book, whether online or going to a bookstore and buy it, How Christianity Changed the World by Alvin J. Schmidt. And again, changed it because people were willing to go and occupy. How do we have a teen challenge that's gone around the world? How do we get a place people can come and get delivered from drug addiction that has been holding their lives and destroying their lives for years? How do we have these places like Teen Challenge and places, so many other places like Teen Challenge? How do we have that? Because a man by the name of David Wilkerson went into a drug-infested area in Brooklyn to occupy. He didn't just stay in a church and sing songs, as we say in Spanish, sing the corito, you know, or get up and then, okay, read a psalm, read a scripture, play a tambourine. He didn't do that. What he did is he went out, and Jesus wants us to go out into the highways, into the byways, into the hedges, into the places where we need to go to preach the gospel, to engage the culture, to occupy until he comes back. So how do these people from Teen Challenge, how did they hear about God? Because of somebody that went into Occupy. Now, David Wilkerson is off the scene. I believe he's with the Heavenly Father right now because he's passed for many years already. But he went in to take possession of a stronghold of the enemy. He went in to occupy. Do you hear me? He didn't just say, I'm going to have a little service with my family. And because of him occupying, my God, do you sense the Spirit of God? Because of him occupying, so many hundreds and thousands of men have been changed by the power of God. Because somebody went in to tell, originally it was Nicky Cruz, to tell the leader of that gang, God has a better way for you. You don't have to live a life like this. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you. And so we know the story. If you've ever heard of the movie called Run, Baby, Run, that is the story about Nicky Cruz and David Wilkerson and how he got saved and delivered, crossing the switchblade. Famous movie, The Cross and the Switchblade. If you have an opportunity to see that movie, it's old now, but it's good. But it'll tell you about how God used a man and people that stood with him to deliver a whole culture that was killing themselves with drugs and gang violence. And since then, so many other gangs have been reached and are being reached and will be reached because of men and women are willing to pay the price to go in and to occupy until Shiloh comes back. That's what it takes. This whole thing, I've been dealing a lot in the issue of abortion. It's something now that's not only horrific in America, but it's global. It has global impact. Sad to say, it's been pushed by my nation, United States of America. I apologize on the behalf of my country for every nation that's listening that has been abused and forced or compelled to turn to abortion in your own nation because of different policies that America was forcing on you. I so apologize, and there's no words that I can use that will be good enough to say how sorry I feel. But the taking of human life, innocent human life, and we're going to talk about this topic on one of my programs, probably on the Kingdom Perspective programs that I'm going to have on Thursday nights, God willing. This whole issue of abortion and Christians keeping their mouth quiet, these are Christians who are not occupying. Any man or woman of God who knows about abortion and is not speaking to the culture, speaking to those that are around you, speaking to those in your sphere of influence, if you're keeping your mouth shut and you're not speaking the truth that killing unborn babies in their mother's womb is an evil that God is going to require at our hands, if you're not saying that, you are not occupying. You are not being salt. You are not being light. We cannot be salt and light, see horrific things take place, and keep our mouths shut, and then just mimic what the world says. Oh, well, her body, her choice. First and foremost, that's not her body. That baby is not her body. That baby has its own body within her body. So that's not her body that she's killing, because if she were killing her body, she'd be dead. Hello? Let's just talk it like it is. Let's just talk it real. Let's just talk it true. If that was her body that was being sucked, vacuumed, stabbed at, plunged, burnt, pulled, contorted, twisted, snipped, if that was her body, she'd be dead. No, what abortion is taking the life of that living body living inside of her. That's what it's doing. That's abortion. And so for us to occupy in this arena, we have to be willing to go and to talk with those people that we're engaging with, the people in our neighborhoods, our community, in our workplace. When the conversation comes up, instead of with you keeping quiet and your mouth shut, you can present the other side, the side of life. Well, have you ever heard about this? And what about that? And no, that's a life. And life is precious. But if you keep quiet, you're not engaging. You're not filling up. You're not possessing. You're not making a difference. You're not being salt. You're not being light. You're just being, you know, there, taking up empty space. You're not occupying. I'm going to end it with this. You remember that in that scripture, when that ruler, that king, he said, I'm going to go away to another land, but I'm going to come back, so I'm going to give you 10 minas. And he distributed the 10 minas. He said, I want you to take this money, put it to work. This is the NIV. Put this money to work. In other words, occupy. Put the money to work. Occupy. Put what I've given you to work. Occupy. Use what I've given you. Occupy. Put a demand on that which you have been blessed with. Occupy. That which I have deposited inside of you, now use that. Use that and until I come back. But this particular king, when he came back, and he wanted to know what they did with the 10 minas, one of the men said, well, look, I put your money to use, and now I have 10 more. I used the one you gave me, but now I've got actually 10. Well, the king said, you've done great. I can trust you. You've been trustworthy with a little bit. I'm going to put you in charge of 10 cities now. The other one, he says, look, I have 5 more than what you gave me. And the king said, that's great. I'm going to put you in charge of 5 cities. But then there was a lazy, worthless, good-for-nothing servant had the nerve to tell the king, I know that you're a hard person. I know that you're austere. I know that you try to get what you didn't give. You take out what you did not put in. You reap what you did not sow. So I just took what you gave me, put it in the cloth, and put it away. I didn't even deposit it. The king was livid. The king took the one mina that he had given him originally and then gave it to the man that made the most with his, the man that had now 10 minas, and he gave it to him. But not only did he give it to him, what did he do with the servant that did nothing with the one that he was given? Well, not only was it taken away, he was killed. He was killed, he was destroyed, because he was good for nothing. I don't want that to be my story. I don't want that to be your story. No matter what nation that you're listening to this radio broadcast from, God wants you, man of God, to occupy. Do you hear me? You might be listening to me from a communist nation. I've lived in a communist nation for many, many, many years. You can still occupy. You just have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But you can very much occupy wherever God plants you. That's a fact of life. That's a certainty. Been there, done that by the grace of God. So you can too. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who enables us. Wow, I feel like there's more to this message, but I tell you, I don't have much more strength for more right now, even though we do have additional time. So I'm going to close at 9. Been a big, big week. And so I just want to give you that and let you digest that and chew on that and ask the Holy Spirit to make that real to your spirit. And I want to pray for you before we get off of the line. Is that okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God. Powerful God. I thank you that you give us everything that we need for godliness. You said that. You give us everything that we need to do what you have commanded us to do. Everything. Everything. We lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. So everything that we need to be the people that you've called us to be the individuals that you've called us to be the son, to be the daughter that you've called us to be in this time, in this day, for this hour, in this situation that you've planted us, that you've placed us. Thank you, Father. You're not a hard master, as that lying servant said of his king. You're not a hard taskmaster. You're a loving Heavenly Father. And we bless you, and we thank you, and we ask you to help us to occupy until you return. Occupy in our families. Sometimes it's even the hardest to occupy with those that we live with. But help us to occupy, engage them, know how, have the wisdom, the tact, the anointing, the Holy Spirit guidance to know how to occupy with those that are closest to us, to know how to occupy with those that you've allowed us to have influence over. Oh God, bless everyone who's listening to Reaching Out Radio tonight. Bless them, oh God. If they're sick and they need healing, heal them in the name of Jesus. There is nothing too hard or too difficult for you. There is no sickness, no disease that you are not able to heal. So thank you for that, Heavenly Father. For those going through very hard situations on their jobs, God, give them the wisdom that they need and give them the victory, oh God, to overcome. Give them godly favor, oh Father. For those that are lonely, feel that they have nobody to talk to, no one to turn to. God, let them know first and foremost that they have a loving Heavenly Father who loves them so much. And that's you, our Lord God. That's you. Make yourself very real to them in this hour of their need. For those who have lost loved ones and are grieving, hold them close to your bosom and comfort them, O Father. Help us, Lord. In 2018, we don't know what this year has to hold, but we know that if we belong to you, everything is going to be all right because you hold our tomorrows, you hold our todays, and everything is going to be fine once we're with you, Jesus. So help us now to occupy until Shiloh comes, the Messiah returns. Help us to occupy, to go in and to engage, to make a difference for your kingdom, to make a difference to honor your name, to make a difference to glorify you, to make a difference to bring change, to be change agents, to be deliverers, O God. Not just to go like those people did in 2011, get loud, you know, get stink, do a lot of things that were ungodly. But no, your anointed clean vessels that you've washed, that you've purged, will go in and possess the land so that the people can have victory, so that the people can know what it is to have life in Jesus Christ. Give us great joy this week. Give us great peace. Help us to keep our minds and our hearts stayed on you. And help us to occupy until Jesus comes back, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Give you a great and fantastic week. Stay tuned. Sister Pearl will be back, Lord willing, on Thursday evening from 7 to 9 when we do Kingdom Perspectives. I'm sure it's going to be something that you're going to want to listen to. Invite your friends. We love you. Closing out on Reaching Out Radio. God bless you in a wonderful way. Be a blessing. Bye-bye.